Be mindful of the time. Just want to leave y'all with a little something. Ruin, maybe give you a little something for the ride home. The Apostle Paul, about half a dozen times, I'm giving you biblical precedent so you'll understand where I'm going. About half a dozen times, he quotes a bunch of secular guys. Our version of the Beatles or Elvis Presley or something, they're in Acts 17 when he says, "In him we live, move, and have our being." That's not an Old Testament scripture. That's from a secular poet who is not even talking about God. He's quoting people who don't believe in Jesus to preach Jesus. That's pretty cool. With that in mind, I would like to present the inspiring oration of Mr. Norman Greenbaum. He was a professed unbeliever. By the way, I love it when unbelievers talk about Jesus. Paul said, "Whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I rejoice." Y'all know the song, but let me give you a little bit of it. "When I die and they lay me to rest, I'm going to go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the Spirit in the sky." Let me show you that this unbeliever had a lot more theology than maybe some folks that claim to have some. So the first thing that Norman says is, "When I die and they lay me to rest, I'm going to go." If you know where I'm headed with this, there's nobody buried out here. There's nobody buried out here. Let me give you just one verse. Underline this one, file it away. Genesis 35. Listen to the language of Scripture. This is from the Old Testament. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Did y'all catch it? Isaac died and was gathered unto his people. Amen. And then was buried. That's not talking about he was put in the family plot. Norman knows, I don't know if Norman knows this or not, maybe providentially he put it down, but the fact is, when you die, you go. You don't hang around, you don't lay in the grave, you don't wait for some day to come. That's why that thief could die in joy when Jesus told him, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." To be absent from the body is to immediately be present with the Lord. When I die and they lay me to rest, I'm going to go. When I die, I'm going to go. I'm not going to lay around. I'm not going to haunt somebody's house. Don't look for me. Don't say, "Well, I think Ernie's watching us." No, he ain't. He ain't even thinking about you. When I die, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. And then he says, by the way, "When I die, well, when they lay me down to die, I'm going up to the Spirit in the sky." By the way, y'all know God's the Spirit. That's the Spirit we're talking about, just to give you that. What does it say in Ecclesiastes? What's it say in Ecclesiastes 12? What happens when you die? This, there's a separation. Right? I know, by the way, Jesus is a fixer. He's going to put it all back together one day. But when you die, there is a separation. This goes right back to the dust. And the Spirit returns to God who gave it. Amen. Where is God at? I'm glad you asked. Our God is in the heavens. And he's done whatever he wanted to. That's my version. That's not King James. When I die, when they lay me down to die, guess where I'm headed? I'm going up. I'm going up. Now, let's get a little bit more controversial. When I die and they lay me to rest, I'm going to go to the place that's the best. The best. You know where you are right now? You're better. You're better. The church is better. The church is better than anything the world can come up with. Amen. The church is better than anything they could come up with in the Old Testament. It's better than the ceremonial law. It's better than the sacrificial law. It's better than anything, anywhere. If anybody asks, I wish I could find something better. I'll tell you where better is. Better is the church of Lord Jesus Christ. You go through Scripture, all those betters, maybe not all of them, but I'd say most of them are about the church. Better hope, better testament, better promises, a better country. That better country is what the Old Testament saints were looking for. You're sitting in it.
Amen.
You're sitting there. This is a better country. Better things than the Old Testament. Better things than they had. They sought for it. They all died looking for it. God forgive us for squandering the better country. There shouldn't be an empty spot. There shouldn't be an empty spot in God's local assembly if we understand just how better is. But it ain't the best.
That's right.
It ain't the best. Paul took a trip to the best.
He did.
Got to go up to the third heaven. We're going to talk about the first two. The third one, the abode of God. The abode of God. You know what he said about it when he come back? Nothing. Nothing. You know why? Because it's the best. In order for him to speak about it, he would have to have the best word, which we don't have. It is the best. When I die and they lay me to rest, I'm going to go to the place that is the absolute best. I think you belittle it when you try to talk about it. I know you think it's a bunch of heaven verses in Scripture. There ain't a whole lot of them. Ain't a whole lot of them. And when we try to talk about it, we bring it down and make it less than best. But it is the best. It is the best. Can't talk about it. What are you going to say? I had not seen. Ear hadn't heard. Somebody comes up to tell me about heaven. Wish I could. I'll tell you this. It's the best. We're in better, but it's the best. The best. Isn't that something? Wow. Now, prepare yourself. More of the song. You know it's a must. Gotta have a friend in Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus, and he's talking about him. James Taylor did the same thing. Remember that? James Taylor said he didn't believe in Jesus, but he sure did put him in the song. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? Help me make a stand, take a stand. Got to have a friend in Jesus so you know that when you die. Now get this. So you know. Jonah's done told us we don't make it happen. We don't fix it. We don't work ourselves there. Do we? You know, there's that whole by grace you save thing. So we don't make ourselves somehow get to heaven. But don't you want to know you're going? Don't you want to know you're going? Remember what Paul said? I'm doing all this stuff. I took my whole trophy case and said it's dung. I do it all. By the way, what do y'all think the answer might have been if you went up to the Apostle Paul and said, Brother Paul, do you know the Lord? What do you think he might have said? Do y'all ever think about that kind of stuff, or is it just me? He said, I do all this that I might know him. By the way, did Jesus die for Paul?
Yes.
Was Paul born again?
Yes.
Yeah. So what's he talking about? That I might know him. Mm-hmm. That I might know him. If you won the lottery, wouldn't you want to know? Well, you have. You have. How do I get to know I'm going? Make a friend with Jesus. Got to have a friend with Jesus that I might know where I'm going to go. Prepare yourself. You know it's a must. You got to have a friend in Jesus so you know that when you die. In fact, what does Peter say to close out everything? Grow in grace. You're in the right container. Right? Don't grow out of grace. Grow inside grace and in the knowledge. Don't you want to know more? We even have a song. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you'll know about him. Right? You ever been driving down the road and approach something? The closer you get to it, the more you know about it. Got to have a friend in Jesus. So you know. So you know. That thief on the cross knew. Paul seems almost happy to die at the end of Timothy. Doesn't he? Hey, I fought a good fight. I don't even think he's bragging. I've kept the faith. I mean, they threw everything at Paul they could. Everything. He was looking forward to it. To live as Christ. But to die? Who gets more? How do you get more when you die? To die is gain. Wow. So you know, I'm glad y'all sitting down. I had to ask you to, because this is awesome. Listen to this. Prepare yourself. You know it's a must. Got to have a friend in Jesus so you know that when you die, he's going to recommend you to the Spirit in the sky. Now get this. Norman Greenbaum must have had an Oxford English Dictionary. Unless there's some providential thing going on here, he uses the word recommend. You OED people, when you get home, check me out on this. You know what the first definition of recommend is? I'm going to read it to you. To commend or commit oneself or another spirit to God. Wow! That's what happens when you die. What about when Jesus was the what if Jesus was to get before God and say, "Behold, I." Some of y'all know the verse, but he don't just stop there.
Praise God.
Brought some folks with me. Behold, I. And the children which thou gavest me. By the way, think about the covenant relationship there between the Father and the Son. What if God the Father had given Christ some and he had showed up with one less? Yeah, that seems a little chaotic, doesn't it? Seems like things are gonna come apart. What's the verse over there? My brain's not getting it. that all the Father giveth me. That's where I'm after. I think it's John 6-ish. That all the Father giveth me, I should lose. It doesn't say no one. Does it? Theologians? It says, all the Father giveth me, I should lose nothing. I will not lose my power. I will not lose my authority. I will not lose my glory. And I will not lose my people. Raise it up again the last day. He's going to recommend me to the Spirit in the sky. Isn't that awesome? Let's get a little controversial. That's how, you know, Norman's kind of controversial anyway, right? He then says, never been a sinner. I never sinned. I got a friend in Jesus. We got you now, Greenbaum. Jonah's done read it. All have sinned. How dare you, Norman? How dare you? So, I don't know if y'all have heard any of these. And oh, but for the grace of God, there go I. But you've heard some of these old gospel songs where they're singing, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to sit down at the feet of Jesus and lament about all my sins and my sufferings and all my trials and tribulations. Well, if you plan to do that, can you sit somewhere else that's not anywhere near me? I'm not getting to heaven and lament about sin. You know why? Because there won't be any. What are you going to look like before the throne of God? By the way, what do you look like now? The new creature in Christ. Glorified. Right now. Do you think Do you think for a second, standing before God in heaven, you'll have a bunch of scars from the sins of your life? How complete was the redemption? Marty, Brother Marty quoted the verse already. He quoted it this morning. There's a word, and Kevin used it. You're going to be holy. And without blame. Maybe Norman's on to something. Because when we stand before God, we won't look like forgiven sinners. Sorry if you think so. You're going to appear before God as though you never sinned. You're going to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You're not going to look like a fixer-upper. You're not even going to look newly renovated. It won't work. The redemption's bigger than that. You're going to look perfect. You're going to look Christ-like. You're going to look Christ-like. By the way, let me chase a rabbit here. That's what preachers do. I hope you don't expect Jesus to look like he just got off the cross. Sorry. He's not looking that way. He's not going to look all beat up and battered. If that's the Jesus you're expecting to see, you're going to be disappointed. Only for a second, because you're still going to see Jesus. All of that's done. When we see him again, he's going to look a lot different. He's going to look like he really looks. That's going to be pretty awesome. In fact, I think Paul even says, it does not yet appear what we shall be like. Meaning, we don't even know what he's going to look like. But when he appears, we shall be like him. For then, and only then, we will see him as he truly is. Wow. You know what I think? I think we got something to look forward to. I think there's a little something that should get us up in the morning and keep us going. Then he says, oh, I got to give you this one. Isaiah 1, talking about what we're going to look like. Though your sins be as scarlet. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Here just a few months ago, something weird happened in the state of Georgia. And my front yard, I measured 6 inches of snow. Did y'all get any of that? Though your sins be as scarlet. I mean, you've never seen anything whiter. Sometimes the snow is so white you can't even look at it. Think about that purity. Think about that holiness that you're going to have. That's what the redeeming blood of Christ does to a sinner. There's not spots left. There's not evidence. It's perfection. It's holiness and without blame before him. Wow! Never been a sinner, never sinned. I got a friend in Jesus. So you know that when I die, he's going to set me up with the Spirit in the sky. You know what that phrase means? It means he's just going to arrange the meeting. Isn't that something? You know, there's a big word in Scripture. Go back and study it out. It's the word reconcile. Reconcile. It's a cool definition, too. And once you hear it, you'll never forget it. It's the cessation of againstment. Here's something we're not again. God was again us, and we were again God. And Jesus came along and stopped the again. Didn't he? A cessation of againstment. We were reconciled to God by his blood. I mean, can you imagine? Y'all know some people that don't get along? You can be honest, even if it's in your own family, you can testify. You know anybody who doesn't get along with somebody else? Do you want to be in the middle of that? I mean, we live in the South. There's still some stuff going on hundreds of years old. Right? Jesus got between the two that were polar opposites. God against us, we against him, and he reconciled us. He reconciled us. Gonna set me up with the Spirit in the sky. So then, I thought about this while Brother John was preaching. If all that's true, it is, by the way, it's all true. Paul concludes something, and I won't read the chapter. It's in 1 Corinthians 15. He says this mortal must put on immortality. Now, he's talking about, you know, that stuff we left. God's going to gather all that up and make it perfect too. Because that's just how God works. Right? But once all that's come to pass, and we get to mock death, don't we? And we get to have a na-na-na-na-na moment with death. That's what Paul does in 1 Corinthians 15. So when all this happens, he says, "Oh death, where is thy sting? What you got now, death? Go home to your mommy." I mean, should we not boast in Christ like that? "Oh grave, where is thy victory?" Can you imagine? By the way, do y'all think the resurrection is a physical thing? I think it is. I think things are going to come busting out the ground. I think it's going to be a mess. Can you imagine? I don't even know what side I want to be on. I don't know if I want to be here watching all that or up there watching down. Either way, it's going to be an awesome show. And the graves can't hold, because death is no more, the graves can't hold anything. They're not dead anymore. Isn't that something? Yeah. "Oh grave, where is thy victory? Thy sting, the sting of death and sin, the strength of sin is the law." Kevin mentioned this earlier. Kevin's a smart guy. Don't mean any law in heaven? Of course not. Well, would there be law in heaven? What's the law for? Sin. Guess what we ain't gonna have in heaven? Sin. Everybody's sinless. You don't need the law there. There will not be a stop sign. Seriously. There won't be a speed limit. You speeders can say amen there. There won't be a law in heaven because there'll be no sin there. Wow, that sounds like a good place. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore. If Norman's right, even if Norman don't know he is, bless his heart. I wonder if Norman's still around. He'd be in his 80s. He might still be. Go evangelize him, Brother Carl. Go find Norman, track him down. Tell him he knew all along, he just didn't know he knew. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, if it's all true, if what you've heard preached this weekend, if it's all true," by the way, if it ain't, you really, really wasted your time. "But if it is, then it is. Be ye steadfast." Amen. Be ye steadfast. And I always get the picture of Marines when I hear that. Stand your ground. Don't move. Be ye steadfast. Then Paul says, wait a minute. I'll even tell you what that is. Unmovable. Unmovable. There's too much in this life that's moving us. Isn't there? We're moving one way or the other. Be ye steadfast. Unmovable. But not just, by the way, this is a moving while you're standing still. While you're being unmovable, abound. I just see a kangaroo kind of just bounding. That's just where my brain goes. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Some of you are tired. I'm old enough to be tired now. I mean, is it all worth it? Is it? Are we wasting our time? Nobody will listen to us. You know, Brother Carl gets to talk to some folks. Most folks will tell you some stuff. By the way, he can tell you some stories about that too. They won't listen to us. They won't take us serious. I know we're supposed to tell them, but they don't want to hear it. You know, get to your church on Sunday and half the folks aren't there. Oh, is that just me? I don't think it is. We're tired. Is it all worth it? I think he's worth it.
Amen. Amen.
I think he's worth it. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
When I die and they lay me to rest, I'm going to go to the place that's the best.
Amen.
When they lay me down to die, and fine, I'm going up. Long before they get me in the ground.
Yeah,
I'm carrying my body in. I don't care what you do with it. You want me to burn it? You want to? I don't care what you do with it. You know, feed hungry llamas with it. Whatever. I don't care what you do with the thing. But when they lay me down to die, I'm going up to the spirit in the sky. Thank you, Mr. Greenbaum. Thank y'all for your attention.